God, I just want to lay before you a prayer of for the new year here, that we would leave behind anything that holds us back with our relationship with you, and help us to embrace a brand new year. Help us to embrace new possibilities. Help us to embrace a clean slate. Help us to embrace a moment in time that's created by a new year, where we can have great faith, where we can know you in greater ways, where we can have every possibility that you envisioned for us realized. It's a great opportunity, a new year. Help us to make the best of it this week. Let's not worry about the other 51 weeks, but let's make the best of this week.
Amen.
And then see what happens as we just walk through this year with you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, I want to talk about being refreshed. It's a new year. You know, I was thinking about the word fresh and refresh. And so I want to talk about refresh in 2018. And so I looked up definitions, what's fresh, what's refresh. To refresh is to give new strength or energy to something, to invigorate. And so what do we want to refresh? You know, what do we want to invigorate? You know, let's invigorate our connection to God. Let's invigorate our mind, how we think. Let's invigorate our feelings about us and God and who we are to Him. You know, let's invigorate being like Jesus.
Amen.
So let's refresh 2018. Let's give some new energy and new strength to what can happen in the new year. You know, it's a clean slate. It's a fresh start. I was thinking about this whole idea of a clean slate. You know, we don't want to start everything new. In a new year, there are some things you want to keep. There are some good things that have been in our life, and we want to keep those things. But then we want to make a few things different, maybe. And so when we think about refreshing ourselves in the new year, there's two things I want us to think about. Is let's keep some things, and then let's think about doing something different as well. And I've got an example from three areas of the world, if you will. Go to the next slide there. McDonald's, God's church, and then you and I. I was actually sitting in McDonald's putting this lesson together, and I thought, you know what? McDonald's is actually a good example for what I want to talk about, so I'm going to use them. McDonald's was in my world as I was in their restaurant. So I want you to participate and help me answer this question. In the last 20 years, from your perception, what's McDonald's known for?
French fries.
French fries, consistency.
Cheap.
What's that? Cheap and expensive. We'll use inexpensive. Okay. You know, so there are certain things that immediately come to mind when you think about what McDonald's is known for. You know, here's what I put down. Fast, predictable, and clean. Maybe I should say clean-ish. You know, especially if you've ever worked at McDonald's, you're like, you have no idea how unclean it is. But compared, like, Dean and I have been traveling. We've been to Ohio twice. We've been to Galena. We've stopped at a few McDonald's and some other places. And even though it's not, like, clean, compared to some of its competitors, it's usually more clean. So I know it's a sliding scale. It's not like home. But it is a little clean-ish. You know, but these are things that McDonald's has been known for. We know them. Do you think they want to get rid of those three things? If it's a new year, do they like, oh, we don't want to be predictable. We don't want to be fast. We don't want to be known for being clean. We want to throw that out and come up with new stuff on our clean slate. No, they're going to keep those, aren't they? But they are going to refresh something. So they're going to keep those, and then they're going to refresh something. Go to the next one. So when you think about McDonald's over the last 20 years, what are some things that you know they've done to try to refresh their connection to the public? What are some of the things you know over the past?
Breakfast all day.
Specialty coffee.
Specialty coffees. Breakfast all day. Anybody else remember something?
Salads.
They had salads, okay?
McRib,
you know? It's here, it's gone. It's here, it's gone. You know, in Happy Meals, they've done some things to refresh those, haven't they? Used to be, I can't totally remember, but let's just say it used to be a hamburger, fries, and a drink. Well, now it's, you have options.
Yeah.
You know, fries are bad for you, so you can have apple slices. And you don't have to get a soda, you can, or a milk, you can get a juice. So they've done some things to refresh their connection, but they kept some things as well. You with me on that concept? So in specialty burgers, they tried those, if you remember those. Jay and I were at McDonald's one time when they had, and I don't know how long this lasted, they had like the Big Mac, but then they supersized the Big Mac. I don't even remember what it was called. Like the Super Big Mac. I don't know what it was. But Jay's like, I gotta get one. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I could stand that. And I tried one just because Jay really wanted to, but that was the last Super Big Mac I've ever had. Go to the next one. So here's what they're doing in 2018. If you haven't been in there yet, they've come up with the $1, $2, and $3 menu. They've refreshed something for 2018. But they're still keeping something that they've always had. Go to the next. So this is kind of that keep something and make something different, the refreshing of 2018 from a McDonald's, you know, perspective, so we can kind of see it outside of us and God, and we'll apply it to us and God. You with me?
Come on.
Yeah. So let's talk about God's church now with the same kind of concepts. In the time of Jesus, you know, he came, obviously, died, and then the book of Acts begins the New Testament church. What was the New Testament church in the book of Acts? What would you say it was known for?
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
The church.
The church was known for?
The beginning of the church.
Okay, it's where it started. What were you going to say?
I was telling
everybody something to check out. Okay, they were known to have fellowship, they were known to sacrifice for one another. It's where the church started. What else were they known for?
Prayer.
They were known for prayer. You see it all over the book of Acts.
Baptism,
sharing the good news. You know, there's certain things that we all know. This is what the first century church was known for. Now, over the last 2,000 years, do we throw away those things? Or are those consistent for 2,000 years? You know, loving God, loving one another, sharing the good news. Those existed in the book of Acts. And those haven't gone out of vogue. They're still what we want to keep today.
Yeah,
right. Go to Acts chapter 2 if you would. So when we refresh something, it doesn't mean we throw everything out and start from a blank piece of paper. We're going to keep something. And what we're going to keep is the same thing that we saw God's church had at the beginning, and we're still keeping that today. Here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the context of this is 3,000 people were just baptized into Christ. They were saved. They went from darkness to the light. They were added to God's church. The church had this big retreat moment with all these new people believing in God. And after they were baptized and they were hanging out in Jerusalem, this is what describes them, and as we read through this, you'll see the things that we're keeping today show up in this text. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, in our vernacular, to the Bible, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They were unified. And they had everything in common. They sacrificed for each other. They sold their possessions and goods. And they gave to anybody as he had need. Every day they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That wasn't begrudgingly. They praised God. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, God added. How did he add? Why did he add? Because they were sharing the good news. They were in a retreat. This is like the first retreat ever. 3,000 people, they're hanging out. They're eating together. They're sharing their faith with everybody. You know, they're going and buying food. 3,000 people, they eat some food. So they're buying food to feed themselves and probably telling whoever they bought the chickens from, hey, you know what? You should come join us. This is a pretty awesome thing going on right here in Jerusalem. Come be part of it. And God's adding to their number. We see their love for God. We see their love for others. We see them sharing the good news. We see this at the beginning of the church of God. Unmistakable. Glad and sincere hearts. Enjoying the moment. Do we want to lose that ever? Would God ever want his church to lose those things? Never. Those things are foundational. And so 2,000 years later, here we are. You know, what did we try to refresh last year? These very things.
Yep.
Right? These very things. We said, you know what? We haven't lost them, but we want to freshen them up. We want to refocus on the basics. We want to make sure that we're really walking with God and that we love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We don't want to just come to church.
Yep.
It's more than that. We want to know God. We want to connect with God. We want to understand God. We want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to love others. It's not all about us.
Yeah.
You know, we got to remind ourselves, and we said, you know, we're going to love one another. We're going to love other people. We're going to serve other people. We're going to sacrifice just like they did in Acts chapter 2. We take up a collection every Sunday. We take up a special collection once a year. We push ourselves to sacrifice, to give for God. Not different than what they did in Jerusalem. And then we want to share the good news. We want to tell people about God. We don't want to be selfish with the freedom in Christ we've received. We got to tell people about it. And we got to push ourselves to tell people about it because we get selfish.
Yep.
And it's easy to go through life doing our agenda and forgetting to share with somebody.
Right.
And so we said we don't want to forget that. We want to keep those things alive. 2,000 years later, we want that foundation that they had to be here in us. And it is. Bless you. So we got this, and we want to keep it. And we're going to, this will never go out of style in God's family. We're going to keep this forever.
Amen.
Right? So McDonald's will keep their things, whatever their foundational things are, they're going to keep that probably until the world ends or McDonald's ends, whichever, maybe they'll be simultaneous. You know, McDonald's will last till Jesus comes back. How many want to predict that? Is that a prediction? You know, I think McDonald's will last till Jesus returns. I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, it's probably likely. I don't know. But they're going to keep their things, right? We're going to keep these things till Jesus comes back. This is never going out of style. We're never going to invent something better than those.
Amen.
Oh, wherever they went. But we also want to refresh, so that means we want to make some things different. What does that look like? What does it look like to make something different? You know, over the, are we ahead of ourselves or am I? Let's ask this question. In the book of Acts, what are some ways that the church kept those things, those three pillar things, but they also did things differently? Does anything come to mind? As you think about the book of Acts, time elapses over 28 chapters. So some things were done differently than they were in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is a brief moment where 3,000 people are in one city all together. But it didn't stay that way for 28 chapters. Right? So what changed? Okay. Yeah, they appointed some additional overseers in certain areas that had need.
They started going out beyond their own place and started spreading the gospel.
Yeah, they didn't just hang out in Jerusalem only and say, hey, we've arrived, let's just stay here and let's not worry about the rest of the world. They branched out from Jerusalem. Yeah, they had to break the mold. They were stuck in Jews, we're the ones. And then they had to say, okay, actually everybody's the ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's changes that took place, right? You know, two of them you see that were actually mentioned here is go to Acts chapter 6. You know, a couple chapters go by. They still have the foundational love God, love others, share the good news. But something they did different is here, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together. They said, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So they did something different. You know, they're still keeping the same foundations, but the needs of the hour said, you know what, we gotta let's refresh the way we're doing this. Let's create these 7 guys to take care of this need so that we can stay focused on this need and everything gets elevated. And so they did something a little different. Acts chapter 8. You know, the church has kind of started in Jerusalem and then it's creeping out a little bit. And then here God says, you know what, I'm just going to give it a big old boot right on out all over the world here. And so in Acts chapter 8, it says in the last half of the first verse, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. All except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. I always thought that was interesting. The people that got scattered were everybody but the 12 pillar leaders. In other words, all the regular guys, like us.
Yeah.
We're the regular guys. None of us are apostles.
That's right.
All the regular people were scattered. Not the apostles. And it says in verse 4, those who had been scattered, the regular everyday Christians like you and I, preached the word wherever they went. You know, what was different? What was different is where they were. What was different is it wasn't a retreat setting anymore. In Jerusalem, in the retreat setting, you got 3,000 people. You got numbers. You've got momentum. You've got people looking at that group saying, wow. Now you've got people being persecuted and spread out. Now you have small numbers and you have people saying negative things. And what are they doing? They're doing the same thing that they were going to keep. They're sharing the good news, they're loving God, and they're loving others. It didn't stop because the situation was different. They just refreshed it. They said, you know what? Here we are in a whole different situation, and it's not going to look like it did back then, but we're still going to do those things. And isn't that kind of just how it is over time? You know, Dee and I have been blessed to be here for 20-some years. And we feel so grateful. And in 20 years, we've kept those 3 things, personally and as a church. But we've refreshed a whole lot of things over 20 years. There's all kinds of things we've done different in the church here over the 20-year span. What are some things we've done different that you know of over the 20 years? If you've been here for a while, what are some things that have been done differently? Yeah, how midweeks go. We've done every possible, well, maybe not every possible, but we've done a lot of possible different ways, you know. Everybody together. Then it's just men, and then it's just women, and it's this, and then it's that, and then it's house. We've done all kinds of everything.
There's more of a balance between grace.
Okay. There's been shifts of seasons where there was more legalism and more, you know, accountability. And then there was more, you know, let's get rid of that. And then there's less accountability and less stuff. And then there's like, okay, the pendulum's going over here and over there. And, you know, we're just watching the pendulum. But the bottom line is, we're still loving God. We're still loving others. We're still sharing the good news. But it just looks different.
Yeah.
We understand it different. So we refresh it. And we try to hit the target in a different way that's best for the moment. You know, we've had discipleship groups. We've had discipleship partners. We've had prayer partners. We've had Bible talks. We've had quarterly events. We've had Bring Your Neighbor Days.
Yeah.
We're going to come up with a whole lot more ideas. You know, we're going to keep refreshing the way things get done, but not the foundational things that will always be there.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah.
Go to the next slide. You know, some of the things we'll do different. Well, you say, Jesus the King, that's not different. We did that last year. That's so old. That's so 2017. Well, we're going to do the second half of the book in February and March. Even though it's the same book, we haven't done those chapters, so it's still new. All right. But we'll have different Sunday series throughout this year. You know, a series is a great way to kind of focus in on something. We'll have different series that we'll do this year. We're going to do something cool in the fall that we'll be kind of putting together all year long, and that's called Passion Groups. You know, we're going to have Passion Groups where we're going to have, I don't know how many choices. You'll hear a whole lot more about it, but the bottom line is we're going to come up with, let's just say, 10 different groups, 10 different topics, and we get to choose the one we're passionate about, and we're going to be part of that group for a season. And we're going to learn and grow. We're still going to love God, love others, share the good news, and we're going to use passion groups to help us do that. It's going to be a cool idea. Really looking forward to it. But it's just a refreshed way of doing the basics that we're never going to lose. It happens with McDonald's. It happens with the church. What about you and I? Go to the next one. These are things we're always going to keep. We're going to make a few things different. That's the way you refresh something. You don't throw everything out. So we're going to follow that wisdom. Go to the next one. So what about for us? You know, last year, what were you known for? And you know, that's a tough question. It's like, well, I don't know. Known for lots of things. And I'm not necessarily saying, what were you known for by other people? Who do you think you were? If you were going to say, this is what, self-reflection, this is what I was known for. This is who I thought I was. This is who I was trying to be. What would come to mind? You know, hopefully for every one of us, part of what we were known for is doing our best at loving God, loving others, and sharing the good news. Hopefully all of us were known for doing our best at those three things. If we're going to refresh ourselves in 18, let's keep that. Let's do our best.
Yep.
Let's do our best to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's do our best to love others. Let's do our best to share the good news. But also, do we want to make something different? Mm-hmm. Is there something different we might want to do? Go to the next one. What might you want to make different if you keep those? You know, what could be different that helps those three stay fresh and meaningful and impactful? There's lots of stuff we could do. I'm not necessarily talking about a New Year's resolution. Some of you may have made them. I used to make them. I don't really make them anymore, although I do have focused things that I want to work on, but I don't really call them a resolution. But what do I want to make different? What I want to do to refresh me and God? Because I'm going to keep those three things, but I don't want them to be stale.
Right.
So what do I want to make different? I want us to think about that. Some people have already got ideas. Dee's already got ideas going. She's got on her Bible, she was showing me this yesterday. She got on her Bible, she put the word grounded and taped it on the top of her Bible. And so this month, I don't want to steal her thunder, she may share more later. She's going to work on that word. To be grounded. And that helps her refresh the things she's keeping. I had an idea while I was sitting in McDonald's that maybe would help us take just kind of refresh some thoughts as a community in January. And this will not be for everybody. I mean, it can be. but I'm sure that some of you will be like, I hate that idea. And it, you know what? It won't hurt my feelings. It's okay. You know, I really don't mind if you hate the idea. But some of you will like the idea. And the idea is that in the month of January, while you're out, whatever you're doing, as you're loving God, loving others, and sharing the good news, take a selfie. We all know what that is, right? Take a selfie and send it to me. And we'll show some selfies every week just in January. This is not all year long. This is just January to kind of just refresh things.
Amen.
And just take a selfie, you know, about where you're. Hey, here's me and God at Starbucks. Take a selfie and send it to me. You know, here's me. I'm walking into Menards. I'm going to share my faith. Take a picture of Menards, you know. Free advertising, whatever. go to the next slide. Here's me and Laura and her coworker at McDonald's. I was at McDonald's working on this message, and I look up, and Laura Ballou walks in with her coworker and sits just a couple of booths over. And I was thinking about this whole selfie thing. I'm like, it's a sign from God. Okay, it wasn't a sign from God. I don't think it was. But I took the opportunity. I said, Laura, can I get a picture of you and your friend? And here's what it's for. And so I said, and I'm going to show it. So we got to invite her friend to come to church. It's like, hey, you're going to be a celebrity. Come to church. That's a picture of me in McDonald's with God and then being encouraged with other disciples. Later that day, and it's all about food for me. later that day, I was at Joe Station House with Dee and Peter and Anna, and we're having Dee time and having appetizers. Well, it was a pizza. It's not really an appetizer. I called it an appetizer. Anyway, we were there having appetizers and having a great time, catching up, talking about the ministry, and then we invited the waitress there, and actually Anna's cousin was working as a waitress there. And so she came over and it's like, oh my gosh, and yay. You know, so anyway, I said, hey, we got to take a selfie here. You know, so this is the same day. What does this do for us? I don't know. It's just a refreshing idea. It's just something just to spark thoughts and spark feelings. So if you want to, and don't feel guilty about this if you don't, if you want to, and you're out and about, you're allowed to send me only one selfie a week. I don't want a ton of selfies coming in. But you can send me one selfie a week while you and God are out and about, or you're loving others, or you're sharing the good news. Send me one, and I won't show them all, but I'll show a couple every Sunday just to kind of refresh things in our community of believers. You with me there? So this year, as we kick it off, let's have a refreshing, invigorating year with God.
Amen.
And to that end, let's take a moment.